1 Kings chapter 20. It says in verse 1, "And Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all his hosts together, and there were 30 and two kings with him, the horses and chariots. And he went up to besiege Samaria and warred against it." So he sent messengers to Ahab, king of Israel. This was a time in history where the kingdoms were split. There was the northern tribes. There were the southern tribes of Judah. Northern tribes didn't have any good kings. As a matter of fact, this king we have now in the northern tribes is King Ahab of the Queen Jezebel monarchy. Worst king, probably. Come here and let's turn to the 20th verse. It says these Syrians now. So we've got the northern tribe of Israel not walking in the ways of the Lord. At least the leadership is not. I think the Lord had a people in Israel. He had prophets he was still sending to the northern tribes of Israel. And here in this case, we have the Syrians. They weren't good guys. So we've got some bad guys fighting some bad guys, King Ahab. And it says the Syrians came out against these Israelites, against King Ahab and his army. In verse 20 it says, "And they slew every one his man, and the Syrians fled. Israel pursued them, and Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, escaped on a horse with the horsemen." So Syrians lost the battle. So the Syrian advisors come to their king. Verse 23, "And the servants of the king of Syria said unto him, Their gods are the gods of the hills, and therefore they were stronger than us. But let us fight against them in the plain. Surely we shall be stronger than they." So that's the excuse they give. And that's how many times the kingdoms of the world are. They're local gods. They're gods of just this part of the... Yeah, the gods of the sea, or gods of the plain, gods of the mountain. So they make this excuse of, "Their gods are the gods of the hills. Let's try that in the plain. Maybe we've got some chariots, some warfare, some technology we can use in the plains." So they tried it again. The Syrians, remember, this is the Syrians, the bad guys, before the Assyrians, before the Babylonians. This is the Syrians attacking King Ahab, who's not a good king. It says in verse 28, "And there came a man of God and spake to the king of Israel, and thus saith the Lord, Because the Syrians have said..." So this man of God comes to Israel, comes to the king, comes to King Ahab. And he says, "Because the Syrians have said, The Lord is God of the hills, but He's not God of the valley. So not because of your good works, Ahab. I'm not doing this for you. I'm going to do something great for my glory's sake. Because there are some people out here that are saying that I'm just God of the hills. But I'm going to teach them a lesson. I'm going to show my glory in this instance. You're going to be the beneficiary of this. The Lord, He's God of the hills only, but he's not God of the valley. Therefore, I will deliver this great multitude into thine hand. And ye shall know that I am the Lord." And they slew the Syrians that day, 100,000 men. So this is the thought. This is the simple thought that I hope can lead our minds in so many different directions. But our God is a God. Your God, the God we worship tonight, is a God of the hills and of the valleys. Of the hills and of the plains. Of the mountains and of the plains. He's your God in all those situations. Now, we might have a mountaintop experience where the view, I had a glorious view. I was in the house of God. And the preacher just showed me Jesus Christ. I saw Him high and lifted up. And I had a glorious view. Sometimes we're on the mountains and we can praise Him on the mountains. Yeah. It's my hope and desire that we can also remember that He's not just the God of the mountains. Yeah. We can praise Him on the way down. We can praise Him all the way down in the valley. Yeah. And that's my hope. As we walk through that valley, He's with us when we walk through the valley. Yeah. He's with us. And my educated guess is that some of you might have had a good week. Maybe you're on the hills and in the mountains. But some of you most likely were in the plains and in the valleys. Yeah. Some of us are struggling. We might come to the house of God hoping for that experience, that close walk with God. But we've been walking through the valleys all week. And next week you might experience the same. I want you to take you to this scripture and let our minds meditate on these things and think, when you go back out in the valley, He's God of the valleys too. Yeah. There's a beautiful view on the mountaintop. There's a beautiful view. But friends, when you walk through the valley, there's lilies in the valley. There's growth in the valley. When you go through the valley and He's with you, you're going to grow. Right. And then you might go up that mountain again. You might be in the hills. You might be in the plains. But He's God all the way.
Amen.
Sometimes we feel that mountaintop experience. And sometimes I pray, Lord, just give me a gentle descent. Because too many times I'm high, I crash. I'm bad like that. I crash. Lord, give me a gentle descent and be with me and help me to remember those. I'm going to gather up the things that I've fed upon, feasted upon this weekend, and take them home with me and be with me in those times. I love considering that God is God at all times and all parts of our walk. And we consider these mountains and these valleys, and there are many, and just a few come to my mind, but I think about the times that the Lord won great battles in mountains and in valleys. There's a time in particular I've always loved old. In the book of Joshua, Joshua's running mate was Caleb, right? Joshua and Caleb were the faithful spies. They brought back the same report, but they said, we can take the promised land, even though there are giants in the land, because our Lord promised He's going to go before us.
Right.
And Caleb remembered that promise, and he and Joshua got to go into the land. And in the 14th chapter of Joshua, I just want to turn here because I like the language so much, I want to get it off here, but they get to this portion where they're taking Canaan's land. And Caleb has this request. In verse 7, Joshua 14:7 says, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy the land. So he went into the spy of the land. And he's going over the promise that God gave through Moses that they were going to take the land. Comes down to verse 11, and he said, and he's 85 years old right now. He's 85. Some of us think we're not quite as strong as we used to be. Caleb thought he was strong enough. He said, I'm as strong this day as I was when Moses sent me. And as my strength was, even so my strength is now for war to go in and come out. And he says, I love this. Hold on to this if you haven't meditated on this lately. Especially those who aren't as young as you used to be. Right? Caleb here says, now therefore, he says, give me this mountain. Caleb's 85 years old. And he says, give me this mountain. Because my God's not just a God of the plains and the valleys and the hills, but He's a God of the mountains. He said, give me this mountain. Can you see Caleb's advisors or his younger servants? You know, Caleb, you're not a spring chicken anymore, Caleb. And you know, this is a mountain. They have the high ground. They have the high ground on you. Matter of fact, he says, they have fenced cities in this mountain. There's lots of reasons we shouldn't be taking. We can take this other stuff, but not this mountain, Caleb. He says, give me this mountain. He says, you're too old. Give me this mountain. He says, they're sons of Anakim. They're related to the giants. Remember the giant? Well, they're related to the giant. Caleb said, give me this mountain. I trust the promises of God. I remember the promises of God given through Moses. This was to be my mountain. I'm old, but I can still take it. I like what the psalmist said, now also, Lord, when I'm old, when I'm gray-headed, he said, forsake me not until I've shown thy strength to this generation and thy power to all those to come. Lord, can we have that? I hope you have that. I hope you grow, and when we get older, Lord, just give me a little more strength. Forsake me not until I can show, so I can tell the next generation. Yeah. Hand off the baton. Let me tell them about how He was with me in the valleys and on the mountains, and I took the mountain because He told me I could take the mountain.
Yeah.
I love these mountains and valleys that the Lord promises because He's God of these mountains and valleys.
Amen.
Right here in the context of 1 Kings, in this next generation, you know, Ahab is arch rivals. Elijah, well, coming up is Elisha. And Elisha was doing what good prophets do. He was causing trouble for the bad kings, and he was giving some prophecy what the bad kings, King Syria, was doing. And so the king sent an army. The army surrounded the city. But Elisha, didn't seem to be worried one bit.
Right.
And as certain as the young man that was with him, he was just worried because he was walking by sight. He could see the enemy at that time. But Elisha prayed the prayer, Lord, open his eyes. Let him see what I can see and the things that I have seen and the things I see now. The Lord answered that prayer. And you remember what happened? It said that he looked and he saw in the mountains were horses and chariots of fire. I mean, there's more with us than against us.
Amen.
And there's a majority. When you're on God's side, you're on the majority, all right? Because he's God of the mountains and he's God of the plains. Don't let these false advisors come, he's just God of the hills. We can take him in the plains. No, sir. No, sir. You know, we could think of the most, and there's many places, many mountains you could go. But there's one mountain. There's a mountain that was a place of death, the place of the skull, the place of Golgotha, Mount Calvary, where the greatest victory of all, where he showed he is the God of the mountains on Mount Calvary, did he not? He won the victory. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord that he's given us the victory. He won the battle. He won the battle on the cross where heaven, where earth met, where the Son of God and the Son of Man came together to stand in the gap, to stand in the breach, to fight the battle for us, showing he's the God of that mountain, giving us that victory through Jesus Christ. He's the God of that mountain. Remember that mountain. Remember the mountains, how he, over and over. I like, not only did, and we go a lot of places with mountains. I like, though, that Jesus, somebody talks about greatest this, greatest that, greatest sermon. Jesus Christ preached the greatest sermon on a mountain. And he gave those teachings, you know, that Sermon on the Mount. But you know what he also did? It seems like in the book of Luke, so we could read about that Sermon on the Mount. He went up to the mountain and taught his disciples. But then in the book of Luke, it says he was in a plane teaching. It seemed like the same sermon. So either he was up in the mountain, taught it, and he came down and teaching the same thing, or he taught it on a different occasion. And I'll tell you, I kind of lean towards he taught it on a different occasion because I needed to hear the same thing over and over. Sometimes preachers need to preach the same thing.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a little different sometimes. And I love to hear different gifts preach that same thing. But he preached that. Jesus Christ preached the greatest sermon ever, both on the mountain and in the plane. And I believe when he's whispering to you and he's comforting you when you're walking through the darkest times, he's also preaching in the valley. He's right there because he's God, both in those mountains and those valleys. And we've been through them all. And this is the journey of life. I like what the Hebrew writer says. This is what preachers say sometimes. The Hebrew writer in the 11th chapter says, "For time would fail me." Time would fail me to talk, and then he lists some of these judges and these battles, and he says, "Time would fail me to speak to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David. Time would fail me." You know, you go back and study those accounts of those individuals, and almost all of them, they had some experience fighting in the plains. God was showing that he was God of the plains. See, remember Gideon? He took his 300. Majority with God on his side. He took his earthen vessels. They broke those earthen vessels. They let that lamp shine. They blew those trumpets. The sword of the Lord and Gideon. And they charged down into the valley, into the plain, and defeated the enemy. And they fled. Well, Gideon, we can read about. Gideon, we can read about Barak. Now, Barak, you know, we could say some things about he needed to really step up. He wouldn't step up until Deborah was going with him. Barak and Deborah, remember. Men need to step up without that. But if men are not going to step up, then women, you help them step up.
Yeah.
But right. They went out there and they fought in that. And the enemy had the advantage. It seemed like the enemy with their, again, probably chariots. And it says that when you read that really interesting account, beautiful song of Deborah. And she speaks of how that the waters, I think it was the river Kishon maybe over there, that the Lord took the waters and he flooded the plain there. And they defeated, I think he uses the word discomfited. The enemy was discomfited. And the victory in the plain went to the God of the plains and the God of the valleys, our God. We can read of that. Time would fail me to speak of these things and to go into these things in detail, he says. But we of course, love the account of when David in the battle, the enemy, the Philistines, set themselves in array, and the battle was there, and the Israelites were there, and they were down in the valley. Typically, they would do that. They'd be on the kind of the mountains, but then the valley would be where the battle was, and that old giant came out, and he was mocking the God of the armies of Israel. Who is this that speaks this way? David said, "Is there not a cause? Who is this defiles that speaks in this way to the armies of the living God? Is there not a cause?" He went down there, I think as the brother Ronald would say, David took care of him by he rocked him to sleep. Did he not, Brother Ronald? He rocked him right to sleep. He showed that all he needed was a stone, all he needed was walking in the power and the trust of Almighty God.
Amen.
And we walk in the mountains, we have these times of rejoicing, and we come down and we're in the back. You're going to be somewhere. And that's the walk of a Christian. It's not always in one place. It seems to be the up and down, but the Lord will bless us with the growth and bless us with the view. But he's the God of all those places. In this context, with the King Ahab, we have, if you remember the story, and we'll spend a little time here, and it's always hard for me to there's so much here in this beautiful account of this prophet at the time, this prophet that would confront Ahab, this prophet named Elijah. And I want you to see, we're going to leave out a lot, but I want you to see how he was down, and he was up, and then he was down, and the Lord said, "You've got to keep going." It says in chapter 18, verse 17, you remember it says, "And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" Well, what kind of trouble are we speaking of here? This is the trouble that this man of like passions like we are, Elijah, man of like passions, he prayed and it rained not. You know, that's like praying that the economy would crash, that we wouldn't be so prosperous because we get a little apathetic in our prosperity. And so, yeah, he troubled him in that way. But it was Ahab, and it was his wicked ways that were troubling Israel. It wasn't Elijah who wanted the people to turn back to God. But Elijah here, he prayed and it rained not. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Amen.
As prayer does today.
Right.
So Elijah prayed and it began to rain not. And back at the beginning of chapter 17 here, you find Elijah, the economy's crashing, the rain's not coming, but the Lord provided. The Lord sustained Elijah even in a valley. He sent him to a valley by a little brook and sent some ravens to him to feed. So here's Elijah being sustained in the valley. Not the most glorious view, not the most glorious place to be, being fed by birds, but the Lord sustained him in that valley. Sometimes we have to even consider in our lives, there are illustrations to consider this, but think back with the times that you felt the lowest. The Lord was there. Maybe you didn't feel Him, you didn't think He was at the time, but you can look back. I hope you can look back and see He was there all along. And He helped you through it. He gave you this person, He gave you this scripture, He gave you what you needed to sustain you during that time. And I pray and I hope that now we've come through, we've come forth as gold, we've come forth as purified and stronger yet, knowing that He is a God during that time. And so he hid himself at that time. And there's time Elijah was told to hide yourself, and times Elijah was told to show himself. And he was told to show himself in chapter 18. And he comes out, and he comes before the king. And I don't want to speak of this as you know everything, but hopefully you've heard the story before of this great contest. And so this is going to be a time where Elijah is going to go up the mountain. Mount Carmel is where he's going to go. Mount Carmel to have this contest. He says, verse 19 of chapter 18, "And now therefore send and gather all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and gather the prophets of Baal, 450, the prophets of the groves, 400, that eat at Jezebel's table." So they went all up in. They're going to have a big contest. Verse 21, "Elijah came unto all the people then, and he said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow Him, but if Baal be God, follow Him." They answered him not a word. They said, "Let me see the show first. Prove it to me." Too many times the Jews had that problem. Too many times we have that problem.
Right.
We're asking for signs.
Yeah, right.
Show it to me. Prove it to me.
Yeah.
Come on. The brother talked about, this Word of God, He's given us so much. He's revealed so much. He's given us all we need with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God convicting us and the gift of preaching and the gift of the Church of Jesus Christ to come together and encourage one another and to teach one another. He's given us so many things. Why would I ask for another sign? But they're asking. They're not speaking. They're, show me this. Put on this show. So they're up on the mountain. So we've got Elijah was in the valley being sustained. Now Elijah is on the mountain. And he says, let's have this contest. "Ye call upon the name of your gods, and I'll call upon the name of my gods," in verse 24. "And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God." And all the people answered and said, "It is well spoken." Well done. He says, "You go first, prophets." False gods, false prophets, you go first. And they began, the story. They were hooting and hollering and cutting themselves and jumping around, and they couldn't get the fire to come down to consume their offering upon the altar. And he began to mock them. I'm not sure if this is prescriptive. I'm not sure we need to be mocking everybody, but it's descriptive of what happened here. And it's kind of funny. He must be asleep. The God of Israel neither slumbereth nor sleepeth. He's there with you in the valley, not asleep. He's with you there. Well, he's mocking these prophets. They're doing their thing. Maybe he's on a journey for adventure, and so they can't get it done. He says, "All right, it's my turn." Now you build up this altar, and down in verse 34, he says, or he built the altar. And he says, "You pour on this altar water, you just drench this thing, put a trench around it. Do it three times, make sure everybody knows it's drenched. It's wet, it's not going to be by accident. If fire comes down here, it's by the power of God on this mountaintop." And so that's what happens. He calls upon God, "Let it be known." And the fire comes down, consumes the offering. And the people, of course, said in verse 39, the people saw and they fell on their faces. And they said, "The Lord, He is God, and the Lord, He is the God." I like that. I like when they are there. I like when we get to that place and we just, "I can't do it, Lord. I know I can't do it. I know You can do it. I know You're God and You have the power. Lord, You are God." We hear that. We see the preaching. We listen to the preaching of the gospel, and we see the power of God in that. And hopefully we come to that place and fall on our faces. We need to. Well, He took care of them. He slew them. He slew these false prophets. So he's on the mountaintop, and they're saying, he says, "Go look for some water." And somebody says, I see a small cloud like some man's hand." So go look again. Keep coming. This cloud's going to get bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
It's time to, matter of fact, it's time to get to go away because it's going to be a downpour. You might get stuck up here. So he says, but Elijah picture this scenario. He has just won the greatest contest you can have. It's on the mountain. The people of Israel gathered. He has brought down fire from heaven. He's brought back rain after it hasn't rained for 3.5 years. He's now killed the prophets. So it's victory on the mountaintop. Victory on the mountaintop. You think it's smooth sailing for here. We got rain now. The prophets are killed. The false prophets are killed. Fire's come down. The people said he's God. What happens next? I mean, it's just like that. This is how it is. This is how it is in you and I life, right? We're just so close to God. Satan is not happy when we are close to God. He's not happy when the Church of Jesus Christ is blessed in spirit or is added to. Satan is not happy. And so just be ready, right? Be ready when you fall, when you make a profession of Jesus Christ, you follow Him in baptism. Be ready for Satan to come Amen. And to tempt you. Be ready when you walk out the doors next week and you are feel so strong from this weekend. Yeah. Just be ready. Walk circumspectly. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary is as a roaring lion, looking to devour. Well, he's got this victory on the mountaintop. God is God of the mountains. But he comes down and... I mean, it's not... Jezebel's after him. Chapter 19, you know. Jezebel's after him. And he's got some support. What's your problem here? Well, it says in verse 4, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, coming down off the mountain. He came down, he sat under the juniper tree. He requested for himself that he might die. And he said, it is enough now. Lord, take away my life. For I'm not better than thy fathers. Of course, on my next page, this is where we get it quoted in the New Testament. Lord, they've digged down thine altars. They've killed thy prophets. I only am left. It's just me. And the Lord reproves him. No, listen, I've got 7,000. I've got a complete number. I've got a lot of people, even in Israel, I believe, that have not bowed the knee to Baal. So Elijah, you just be quiet. Remember, I just blessed you on the mountaintop. I've sustained you in the valley. So just relax. I'm still in control. I'm still the God of the mountains and the valleys and the plains and the hills. But he's coming down the mountain. Oh, Lord, take away my life. This is, you know, sometimes we think we're the only ones. Elijah thought he was the only one. Sometimes we think whether we're old and we think we can't do it, we forget about Caleb says, give me that mountain. Sometimes when we're young and we're going through those hard things, it's hard to be a young person in this world. Yeah. It's hard to be a middle-aged person. It's hard to be in this world. Old folks, young folks. It's hard. It's different challenges, but it's hard in this world. Elijah wanted to take away my life. Good men, good women have had these thoughts. Don't feel alone. Don't let the deceiver, don't let Satan tell you there's nobody like you and you're all alone. I want to tell you that God is with you in the valley. I want to tell you that you also have people that love you in this church. You have people that love you in your family. Don't believe it. I'm telling you, Job cursed the day he was born. Moses said, I want to die. Asaph said, my feet, I've come to the end of my, however he said it. He wanted to quit. Asaph did. When we sung the song that David said, oh, you know, why art thou cast down my soul? And then he talked to himself about I should hope in God. But you see these saints, these strong men of the Bible that God was with great power and great victory, these men felt low. They felt like they were in the valley. They came down. Well, just to try to wrap this up here, he told them to arise. Eat, arise. The angel, and I love this, that the message, well, I'll read verse 5. And as he lay and slept under the juniper tree, behold, an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. The idea of angels, their ministering spirits, they're messengers. And the man of God ought to be a messenger. And he ought to bring you the message. Amen. Sometimes you need the message of arise and eat. Feast upon the Word of God. Believe the Word of God.
Amen.
Arise and go on. So the angel strengthened him there. He was given food and encouragement. He comes over here and the Lord speaks to him, ends up speaking to him, still small voice. But I just want to close with this thought here. You know, as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we should fear no evil. But at the very end, God's message for Elijah was this. You know, you think you're in the valley, you think you're done, you think you've done all the work, and you just want to be taken away and die right now. You've had your ups, you've had your downs. God says this in verse 15, and the Lord said to him, go and return on thy way And I can see God saying to this in a stern voice, you need to get, I've sent the messenger, I've sent the angels to you to give you sustaining food to arise and go and be strengthened. Now go, he says, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. Anoint Jehu to be the son of Nishmi to be king over Israel. And then anoint Elisha, the son of Shaphat, to be prophet in thy stead. The idea here is that God still had work for him to do. God is a God of the hills and of the valleys and of the plains and the mountains. And God, if you're still breathing, if He's given you breath to take in, which is His breath, when you breathe in that oxygen and you feel it in here, that's His, the owner of this universe. He's given you that, and your heart continues to beat in this world. God still has things for you to do. You may be a preacher that's been down. Listen, we have our down times. Get back up. I want to encourage you. People are rooting for you and praying for you that you don't even know about. I'm going to tell you that right now. You may find out someday that people are praying for you and rooting for you. You young adults that are going through those hard times, don't give up. Listen, the baton is being passed to you. Take that baton and go. Make this Christian faith your own. Know that God is with you in those times. It may not feel like anybody else is with you, but He is with you. And you oldies, when you get too old, be like Caleb and say, I want that mountain. I don't care if there's giants. I don't care if there's fenced cities. I don't care if I'm old. I don't care if they've got the high ground. My God has promised. He sent His prophet Moses, and He's told me, this is my mountain to have. And He's the God of the mountains. And I want to take this mountain. Give me this mountain.
Amen.
Lord bless you all. Thank you. Come, like I said, come see us in Missouri. Appreciate your good attention.
Who flung a star?